The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, before we get into the episode, make sure you guys check out the sponsor of our podcast, the Gamer Saloon. If you're looking to get into sports wagers in an online game, Gamer Saloon is the place to do it. Gamersaloon.com. Check out the link down below and good luck. Hey guys, welcome into episode 54 of Coffee and Chill. I am your host, Sleeves, joined by my two co-hosts as always, Padre and Kesso. And today we are going to go over all the early season news and surprises in the NHL. We're going to talk real hockey, leave the video game, you know, on the shelf for the night, and talk some of the real
game. Amazing hat. Look at that.
Oh, I just came from the gym.
Got the Pirates hat on. That's why.
I know. Dude, it's my gym hat. I have a very big hat collection, and this is my most disrespected hat. It just, you know, that I wear Pittsburgh. It ball. You know, yeah. It is what it is. I did get it when I was in Pittsburgh it was, what, 2020?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. All right, dude. How are you today, Kessel?
Dude, I'm good, man. Big chilling. Excuse the mess. I ordered a monitor and I got baby stuff back here. So, I'm doing good, man. Not much to report on.
How's the kid?
She's great, dude. So my wife went for a hair appointment tonight, right? And she went after I was done with work. So I was sole daddy duty from 5 to 9. Yeah. And it was awesome. We played on her little play gym. I put James Bond Skyfall on to have in the background, so I was watching James Bond.
I was gonna say, I was like, that I feel like she wouldn't really enjoy
she,
that.
She only watches this black and white cartoon called Hey Bear. We do 15 minutes of it a day. Padre, did you guys do Hey Bear?
No, we did there's a channel for babies called Baby First, and we did that a lot. And that it's actually, I feel like it literally helped my daughter learn words quicker. I'm not even kidding, just because it was a lot of just teaching, and it's stimulating in colors and, you know, all that kind of stuff and noises. And I would be home a lot when my wife was a nurse, and you know how it is, you're trying to entertain them, but you're trying to get dinner ready, you're also trying to keep yourself sane, and background noise is a savior. Kind of
sounds exhausting.
Yeah, don't, dude, you don't even have to be a parent anymore. We can just put it on YouTube all day, right? There's no
Yeah,
that's it, man. Dude, summer is I'm not a dad, but I'm a dog dad.
That still
somewhat
counts.
Yeah. Yeah, summer's got to wear this t-shirt pajama onesie thing because she got fixed and she had a hernia. She had a little hernia that we had to get removed. And obviously she can't they don't use cones anymore.
No.
I was stunned by that. I was ready for the big dumb cone and just have her walk into stuff. I guess vets, at least in Canada, they don't give out cones anymore. So we had to put her in this onesie thing. And so every time Skyla, we don't make her wear it when we're around because, you know, when she tries to lick her cut or whatever, we're don't do that. But so I go upstairs and Skyla's getting ready for bed and she's sleeping in our bed again. It's it must be time for bed. You got your PJs on. She's this big German Shepherd walking around a stupid gray pajama pants. It just looks funny.
Oh, she needs the night hat Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, and the little candle, walking around with the candle.
Yeah, man, she's a battler, man. Dude, the first day, oh man, I don't know if I'm ever ready to be a parent, dude. I had to take her out of the truck, and she's fully on morphine, and my dog's super energetic, and I had to take her out of the truck, and she just wouldn't move for a day. She was just out of it, and I was this is the saddest thing ever. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
But let's
we have to acknowledge the inevitable here. We have a misspelling on Kachuk, which is okay. That's okay. We have a misspelling.
Yeah, that's on me, fellas. Yeah. That's on me.
It's a tough
what
name.
What an annoying name to spell, though. So let's start there.
Kachuk.
What an annoying name to spell. It's
An annoying name for an annoying player, but he's a really good guy. I'll say that.
We're absolutely going to. Padre, what are you going up to?
What have I been up to? I was just working today and same old, same old. I did the Peloton again. I made myself do it.
Look at you. Okay, we need to I want to address this because the people don't get the behind the scenes, Padre. You have got to be in the best shape for someone that eats the most amount of fast food I have ever come across. I am a hefty gentleman at this stage in my life. All right, I've been in shape before and it was exhausting. I said, no, not for me anymore. And I eat less bad stuff than you do, and you are still a slender man. And I gotta give it to you, but you're on the Peloton.
Yeah, so I today when you were hanging out on Discord with me, I did get Taco Bell, and usually Taco Bell is just a late night weekend type of snack, like, you know what I mean, like after hockey or something. But I did it because I was down in the middle of nowhere in Missouri, and all they had is fast food down there. And I was like, I gotta eat lunch. I got myself a Mexican pizza. I did.
You got Mexican. Is that your go-to Taco?
That's my go-to since it came back. It used to be the Crunchwrap Supreme, no tomato, no sour cream for me on that though. But John Wayne and I shared the same order.
Dude, you poop on Canadian restaurants from your time in Canada. I gotta say, our Taco Bell far superior.
So really, what
our
makes Taco it different? Bell,
you guys don't have Fry Supreme.
No,
you have no idea what that is, right?
I don't know what that
Fry
is.
Fry Supreme is basically French fries with taco meat, sour cream, chives, tomatoes, and it is like standard.
Okay.
And it just comes with whatever
you
want.
We have those at like restaurants, but we don't have it at like Taco Bell.
Yeah, not Taco Bell. Taco Bell is pure tacos. Right? Yeah. As in like quesadilla. Like, so I get a cheesy gordita crunch.
Oh, those are good too.
Also, I don't know if this is an American thing too, but the company that owns, this is my dad used to be a criminal accountant for them, but the company that owns Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and KFC, and I think it's Pepsi, it's a company called Yum, or it was. And almost all KFCs now are tied with Taco Bell. So if you go into a Taco Bell, you can order like a chicken sandwich from KFC and get like Fries Supreme from Taco Bell. There's a reason why.
And then wash it down with a Baja Blast. You know what's
funny? Oh, yeah, dude.
You know what's funny? Oh, yeah, dude. Is back in the day, the Pizza Hut Taco Bells, those are awesome. But the personal pan pizzas, remember those? Those little tiny pizzas, those are awesome.
I'm a big Pizza Hut guy, man. Yeah. I get into a lot of arguments in the NHL community. My dad worked at – this is a – what a great intro this is. My dad used to work at Pizza Hut for like – you know, he started as a manager, area manager, district manager, and then he became like an accountant for them. And my first job, I got hired like illegally because my dad had hired basically the entire region of managers for at the time. This is like a couple years after he left the actual like Pizza Hut organization. And I worked at, I remember being like 13, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever because I'd work like 40 hours a week in the summertime. It was like slave labor, is like grade 8, but I'd have a $200 paycheck getting paid $6.95 an hour. And I was like, I could buy whatever video game I want. I had GameCube, Xbox, PS2. All my friends were like, I got to wait for my allowance. And anyways. Pizza Hut, I like grew up on it, and it is one of my favorite. Like, I've had so much of it that I'm actually not huge on pizza anymore. But Pizza Hut is a phenomenal pizza. The thing is it costs the price of a real dinner, and that is the issue. Because me and Scott, we always make a joke. One day out of the year, one dinner out of the year, we'll go to Pizza Hut. Cause it's like $100 bill.
Wait, what?
For a large
cheap
pizza.
Cheap as hell here.
Yeah, see, I think that you, because every time I talk about this, it's U.S. people that say Pizza Hut's awful.
Oh, wow. And, no, see, I like it, too. I don't hate on it.
In Canada, man, for a large pizza, breadsticks, and, you know, maybe like the cookie dessert thing, that we're talking like $65. Like, it's nuts.
That's insane, because, they have the big dinner box here where you get, like,
that's what
chicken,
we get.
Breadsticks, and pizza, and it's like $20.
Dude, yeah, we're talking like, I think that's like $39.99.
It's real easy to be fat here.
It is. It is extremely easy to be larger over there. All right, let's get into it. Okay. We're going to start with who's hot. All right, we'll start with the teams, and I'll rattle off a few. But I think that our predictions also, if you go back and listen to our predictions episode, I think we're pretty bang on. But we'll talk about the ones that we were not even close on, and that's the New Jersey Devils. We'll start with them.
Yeah.
And Padre, you talk about them a little bit, and what's going on with the Devils?
Yeah, just offensive explosions. Like, I don't even know like what I've been watching. It's, you know, they're down to the Oilers the other night, and they scored 2 goals in 7 seconds. And
that was nuts.
And honestly, the guy that I feel like driving the bus the most besides Heischer, it's not even Jack Hughes. It's Jesper Bratt.
Yeah, dude, Jesper Bratt, best player in the National Hockey League.
He's backing up that bank truck, dude.
I know.
It's going to cost a lot.
And what I'm wondering is, what are they going to do? Because Apparently, they offered him two 8-year deals, and he turned down both. Yeah, so he doesn't want to play there, clearly, I guess. And, yeah, I mean, he's going to make some bank. And, yeah, I mean, and then with Blackwood going down, who's actually playing, like, pretty solid. Like, I wouldn't, like, I know I know he's not, you know, what he was before, you know, the COVID year or whatever. But,
Yeah,
he's been pretty solid. And then Vanacek stepped in. But I was telling Sleaze before the podcast, I really do wonder when they hit a slide or when the backup goalie has to play or, you know, it's like, it's gonna, they've just been so hot that, you know, I don't think it's sustainable, but hey, maybe I'm wrong. It's just funny because you go from Lindy Ruff being fired, possibly they're chanting, they're booing him at the home opener.
And I understood that. Cause I feel like that team, that's why I've always harped on the Devils, is that it's been so frustrating as a fan of not the Devils. I like seeing parity in the NHL, and they were winning the lottery, whether it be first overall, but even this year they got second.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous that a team that isn't that bad could keep getting those picks and then still not be good, which is just so frustrating to watch. But I actually want to get your thoughts on the Devils, Kessel, because what I've noticed with them is they are pumping a million shots at the net. Like I was watching like a stat where they had the most shots on goal and the least shots against for the through the first like 10 or 12 games. It was nuts.
Yeah, dude, so they're just like crushing it, right? So I think they have, I think they're three defensive pairings, or they're either top 10 or top 15 in the league, like through all defensive pairings that have played together. In like
in shot control, three are in the top,
they're top
15.
Dude, they're top like, wow. Yeah, it's insane how good they are, right? And I think the thing that's like interesting is they're getting there with, like, you know, Hamilton's still only playing like 20 to 22 minutes. It's not like he's logging like 30 minutes a game. And then John Marino, I hate that. Like, it sucks.
He's been really good.
Awesome. That was a cap issue trade for the Pens.
Siegenthaler's been nasty too.
Yeah.
Siegenthaler was good last year too.
Yeah. So like that, you just mentioned that 2 goals in 7 seconds thing. Like, that was a face-off win to John Marino that fired it to
Someone
Jesper Bratt.
Someone blew some coverage on that.
Yeah, like, they're insane. They're controlling.
That's the face-off play in NHL 23.
That really is. They're just controlling the play at both ends of the ice. Yeah. I don't think it matters who's in for net for them. Have you guys seen, like, the like, funny, like, meme stuff with the Jesper Bratt stuff, though? Like, the best player in the league? There's like an
no. I don't understand why you keep saying that.
Dude, it's like a thing. It's like there's like this Twitter account with like 10,000 followers. It's like Jesper Bratt, and it's just like every single time he does anything, he was at like 5,000 the other day, and it's just like this thing. Yeah,
that's funny,
dude. He is. I wondered how long before like the Palat signing, who's now hurt. I just saw. I don't know how long. I think it's a pretty lengthy one. A lengthy injury, and that sucks for them.
Yeah.
But that signing, like those signings, when you sign second liners for like their peak money, or like what, you know, a lot of money, I think he's getting like $6 or $5 or $6 million. Like usually though, and it's for a long time. Usually at the back end, those are the ones that are tough to swallow because you got to sign the big guys, right? And dude, Jesper Bratt's gonna want like, dude, he's one of the most underrated players in the NHL. Yeah. Like he's almost a point per game player through like his entire career. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's
funny.
It'll be interesting.
I was listening to the chick. I think it was Chicklets, and I think it was Wit. And it's still the same thing for me. I watch them at home, dude. And it's like a morgue. It's so boring. It's so quiet in there. It's such a boring.
Worst in arena experience I've ever had.
Yeah,
I've been to about 20
I can't imagine like being in it in person, and I'm like watching it on TV, and they have an exciting team, and it's just like, man, I feel like I'm watching like the bubble or something.
When it's a full atmosphere, so like when you go into it, it's very steep, and it's steep and high. Like a lot of teams have, like the Sabres, they have a really steep arena, but the 300 level isn't that tall. Like when I was in there last year, I was really impressed by how tall the 300 level was. Like I feel like if you get a playoff game in there. Like, I feel like it's probably an insane atmosphere inside the bowl just because it's, like, you're on them, right? Like, you're just, you're down on them. But, yeah, like, it's my least favorite arena that I think I've ever been to. And I've been to, like I said, I've been to, like, 15, 20 arenas, and it ain't no T-Mobile, let me tell you. another surprising team. Let's talk about – dude, let's talk about the Blues. What's going on?
That's in bad surprises.
Yeah. We're talking about who's hot. Let's save for who's not.
Let's go with the Flyers. I want to go Flyers because I saw him play tonight, and they're just, Tortorella, once again, just getting the most out of who he's got. They don't have Atkinson.
You're going to ruin that draft pick.
They don't have Atkinson. They don't have Ryan Ellis. Carter Hart's playing phenomenal. Their backup goalie tonight, first NHL win against the Blues, shocker. And it's just crazy right now, dude. Yeah.
I just have to brag. I took his over on the saves. I don't even know his name.
that's good. Like, I just I thought they checked really well tonight. They're really tight defensively. They're blocking tons of shots, which is a Tortorella's.
It's like that's toys,
yeah.
bro.
Like, yeah, like he makes all the guys have the shot blockers on their gloves, so you have to have them. I don't know if you ever seen that. They're those massive shot blockers. Yeah, every team he ever coaches, he like makes all the forwards and defend like put them on their gloves. It's really interesting though. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you never know. Jeff Merrick, I know he always says if you have 50% of your, if you have a goal, you have 50% of your team. And if Carter Hart, I'm not saying he's going to stay at a 930 clip, but if he plays at a 920 something clip and the way they play defensively, they get Cam Atkinson back. You never know. I mean, you really don't. You never know with that team. I mean, the way that I don't know.
Like, I thought before all the injuries, like they had before the season started, it was basically over because they lost
Couturier
and then Ellis. And it was like, man, this team was already bad, and you lost like your best players.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had Torres, it's like, man, that's a bad signing in the sense because they are just going to play so hard that they're going to beat teams on some nights when the teams that should win don't play their best, mm-hmm. and that's just going to ruin their draft pick because I think they're, you know, no, I don't think they're a playoff team.
No, they're not.
I think there's some teams in the Metro.
Dude, their PDO is probably like 108 or something. There's no way.
And yeah, and like they're like one of the lowest scoring teams of the league.
Yeah, they're gonna be done.
Yeah, they're lowest scoring team. They score 5 tonight. It's like so annoying.
We're gonna get to them in the who's not for sure. The Bruins 11-2. I was wrong. I thought the Bruins were top heavy always, and I didn't think that. I thought the Marchand injury would be out longer. And I thought the McAvoy injury would be more impactful. They're cruising right now.
Lindholm.
I don't know how. Yeah, like I don't know how long that's gonna last. But 11-2 in the Atlantic to start is pretty impressive. Again, now that Marchand's back, they'll make the playoffs. Like I thought they'd be a fringe team before. They're definitely a playoff team now.
Yeah, Lindholm's playing like literally Norris caliber defense right now. He's that good right now. I don't think he's going to win the Norris, but I just think he's playing at that level right now for that team. And to be able to do that when McAvoy's out is huge. Imagine them getting McAvoy back. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, once they get, like, as long as they could survive, I didn't think they would survive. I thought the
starting
scene would be bad.
You got guys chipping in like Nick Foligno, who, like, after his stint with, you know, the Leafs, he almost looked like he was done, you know, and he's been really good. You have guys like that chipping in. It's always helpful.
Winnipeg.
Yeah,
did not. I got to see Winnipeg play the Knights in Vegas, and I mentioned this on the other podcast that like Hellebuck, I think that was the best goaltender performance I've ever seen in real life. Hellebuck was absolutely insane, and I think people forget that after Shesterkin and Vasilevsky, it's like Hellebuck, and I think people just forget about it because he plays in Winnipeg. And, you know, just no one pays attention unless you're, you know, I mean, in Canada, I guess it's a little bit different. But if you're in the U.S., no one's watching Winnipeg games. So yeah. They're in first in the Central and 8-3-1. They have like a decent team.
They're good.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that as long as the other teams that are doing bad that shouldn't be doing bad, and we'll talk about them in the who's not. There's one that I think should be and there's one that I think it shouldn't be. I think it's going to depend on other teams, not so much them, because I think they're like a middling, they'll sniff the playoffs like around the end. But if the other teams are not doing well by then, don't catch up and right the ship, then they might be a playoff team.
Yeah, Rick Bonus has them playing phenomenal hockey, and that's what Bonus does. Like when he comes in, it's more focused on defense, and it's funny. I mean, they killed Dallas tonight, 5-1, dominated them. And you know, there was some extra oomph on that win tonight with Bonus going against his old team.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. I really, like I said, I didn't predict them to finish like dead last or anything in the Central. Obviously, like obviously Arizona's the worst team, but or they will be. I mean, I'm sorry.
Hold the phone, brother.
The Blues will be. They'll be like they'll either get back into it or they won't. But yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah,
Last one in the who's actually there's two Vegas and Seattle, Seattle. Good for them. I think that's huge. I'm looking at their. I wanted to see their home and away because I feel like that's an arena I would love to go to, and I feel like the atmosphere from what I've heard is like pretty sick. They're 5-1-1 on the road though. They're 2-3-1 at home, so that's kind of surprising. But do you think Seattle has the staying power this year, or is this just kind of a good start, but it'll end up evening out?
I think it'll even out a little bit. They play low event hockey. Like, yeah, they're playing like these, and that's really what they have to do to win. They're not going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to have a winning record.
That's impressive, though. Yeah. Like, again, expansion in 32 teams in the NHL, like to have a winning record of the second year is nuts.
Yeah, and they didn't have the same advantages that Vegas did, you know, and they didn't take advantage of it either with like skipping over.
They
like
such a
but maybe long term yeah. it'll work out.
Yeah, maybe. Vegas, the other one. Me and Stewie are going to take our victory lap because I don't know if it's because we both like Western Conference teams. And the narrative in hockey, like the loud narrative on Twitter and social media and stuff like that is never about a Western Conference team unless it's Colorado.
Yeah,
it's like they just were forgotten about, and it's like you didn't realize that Eichel had surgery and came over halfway through, and you know they lost Stone for the majority of that season.
Martinez,
Leonard, and it's just like
Pacioretty.
Now Thompson is playing unbelievable, but the decor is like
even Aiden Hill's playing solid. You know, like
dude, I had PTSD watching him play because when I was in there, he played the second game I went to, and I don't know. Like I just think that the Pacific is full of teams that should be good, but they haven't been good yet. For a consistent period of time. I think Vegas will cruise. Like they're easily a playoff team. And I think, I don't know. No, I think I might've said Edmonton will win the division, but, unless the only thing, if Logan Thompson gets hurt, Aiden Hill is not capable of carrying the load. So if Logan Thompson goes down, they are in real trouble because even then Logan Thompson's unproven, but they need a Chris Osgood. They don't need Vasilevsky or anything, right? They need like a 9-10 save percentage. They'll be fine. But Aiden Hill is not that. He is.
He's been that this season, though.
That's what, you know, once every few games. Yeah. And he plays in front of that team. And it's like, man. In terms of players, Connor McDavid just doing what Connor McDavid does. It's kind of nuts. I have to talk about Carlson. It's just good for hockey.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but it is. When he came to the Sharks, he like wasn't this focal point, and it just always seemed like that. And it felt like he was just gonna fade away into existence. This Norris Trophy early on, in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, he should be. I can't believe it makes sense. And then Sleaze, you'd know a little bit more about this just because you're like in tune with the Sharks. Did he mention it's like the first year since that like major injury where he's like 100%? Like he had to relearn how to do a lot of things. I don't know if it was last an article year, I read, but he was like, this is like the first year where it's like, I feel like my old self. Now, he could be saying that because he has 20 points, but.
True. I think it has more to do with Burns being gone.
Yeah.
I said this in the beginning of the year and like on stream and stuff that you can't have two alpha defensemen that demand the puck.
Time I can think it's worked is Niedermeyer Pronger. That was the like on the Ducks.
Did they play on the same pairing though?
No, they didn't.
That's a lefty and a righty, isn't it?
Niedermeyer and Pronger were lefty-lefty. They played two separate pairings. They were
okay. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Man, what a tandem. The fact that that's a
dude. Could you imagine going up against that for 55 minutes?
They were so good. They were so good defensively, though. Burns and Carlson were never that. Yeah. But yeah, that's not like so. The problem was is that like power play one, they could never play on the power play together. So Burns got power play one usually. And as he should when he was a Shark, it just like it worked well. But now that it's basically Carlson's team, it looks a lot like watching a Nashville game. Like Yossi, he's on the ice, he's the breakout, he's the cycle, he's the initial shooter. That's what Carlson is right now. There's no one like Meyer's starting to heat up a little bit. Hurdle has been awful offensively, goal scoring wise, and they don't have anything else after that. So it's like Carlson is just shooting everything. And it's going in, and then he is making passes that the old Carlson used to make, and it's like he has that freedom, and I think that he knows that he's the only one there. And I just think that if he was left-handed, the Carlson-Burns thing might have been amazing, but they could never play together. And Burns got 30 minutes a night, and now Carlson basically gets that. So he'll get hurt. I mean, I hope he doesn't, but he hasn't made more than 60 games in I don't know how long, so... Leading, he's got 19 assists, but he's got, in terms of goals, man, he's already got 10 goals, man. He's third in the league in scoring behind Bo Horvat,
Yeah, that was the name I was going to bring up. Bo Horvat with a big 12 goals and is. Yeah, that's insane. Shout out to Sap Alien, who's in the NHL community, because I know he's a big Canucks fan and he loves Bo Horvat. So
not a lot going right for the Canucks, but yeah, Horvat's been nuts.
Yeah, and they're just a boring team to me. And I hate to say that, but there's nobody.
They are a team that should be better to me.
Yeah, they should be, right? Like some of their who should be superstars like aren't in that caliber that I think they should be. And there's just, some underperforming. And Bo Horvat's their best player.
Need to talk about the Buffalo Sabres. They've been fun. They are not they started out a lot hotter. They've lost three in a row. Man, it's been fun watching it. It's fun for hockey when they're good. But when Arizona's good, it's no one cares. Because it's whatever. But Buffalo, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've lived there before, but I'd like seeing Buffalo do well.
Yeah,
but,
Tage Thompson and Dahlin are having amazing years. Dahlin had that crazy goal streak to start the year.
Yep.
And then Tage Thompson with that 6-point game. Did you see that he came to the game dressed as Gretzky?
I did.
Yeah, good for him. I did. Dude, that's crazy.
All right, let's move on to who's not. All right. We'll start with the St. Louis Blues. Currently second last in the NHL. So, Stewie, lead us through why.
I'm going to give you a detailed breakdown, and this will cover the last 3 years why they haven't been the same team. They've been a playoff team the last
This is a rant that he's been waiting.
Since the Stanley Cup, they've been for anybody that cares about the Blues, basically out there. So the reason why I think the biggest reasons why to dumb it down is losing Alex Pietrangelo. That's obviously he's one of my friends, and I love him, and I'm a big fan of his. And look how good Vegas is. And you saw him in person. The guy's a human break. I mean, he's unreal. He's unbelievable.
Losing a first pairing defenseman is probably the most.
Yeah, he's a top 10 defenseman in the NHL all around. Now, that's what people don't understand because he's not flashy. And then you lose David Perron, who, Kessel loved him for the shots. I know that he shoots everything.
He won me a lot.
Yeah, and he was. You can just tell on the power play. They don't have the same type of power play. They don't have a threat on the other side. And you look at successful power plays. It's guys in their forehands able to get the goalie moving across. When you don't get the goalie moving across, you're not going to score. So my biggest thing is when Berube won in 2019, he came in. We had a banger, a team that hold on to pucks. They're big. The defensemen were big. Every defenseman on the D-Core was 6'3" and taller. It was almost like a hut team. They were a big, mean, nasty team. They beat the crap out of everyone on their way to the cup. Binner was nails the net. Binner's been actually good this year. I know the games, the scores that we've lost by, if you watch the games, I posted one tweet. There was 4 out of 5 goals are backdoors. Tonight, there was 2 goals out of the 5 that were, on Grice that were backdoors. You can only do so much as a goalie. I'm a goalie. I know how it is.
Hey, that's a low percentage goal in NHL.
Yeah, dude, you're not scoring.
And then it's 23. So
you got to have them.
Yeah, go watch the Blues, the producers of NHL, and then come tell me how backdoors don't go in. But basically, I think the problem is, and you see this a lot, the good coaches, and I'm not saying Berube's not a good coach. I just think there's certain coaches that need certain types of teams to succeed. And I think Berube needs a team that's a big body, strong, physical, mean team.
The Flyers.
In a D-core, you went from having that type of D-core to adding Torrey Krug, 5'9", Scott Perunovic, probably 5'9", too, Justin Falk, not very tall either. It's a very small D-core besides Parayko, and they're a lot softer. They're not as, it's more of a puck-moving defenseman, which I understand why they moved in that direction, and I think it's really hurt him having more of a, skill and speed team, but also still having, 1 foot in the old-school team with the guys like Braden Shen and Ryan O'Reilly and... You have these guys that are workers and stuff, and they bang, and they'll get gritty and whatnot. I think that's the biggest issue is Berube just doesn't have the personnel to be successful. And the weirdest part about it is Doug Armstrong re-signed him last summer this summer, but he re-signed him, and I don't understand. It's if I had a coach, it's you got to kind of work together. You got to build a team together. You can't, stray that far off. And I understand you don't sign guys, for a coach, but Jordan Kyra, perfect examples, 8-year deal. He looks nothing like what, we saw last year. Some of it could be conditioning. I'm just going to use some of my inside sources on that one. But, it's not to say he's slow. It's just, maybe had a little fun this offseason after he got his deal and, didn't come in as, serious of shape,
hey,
I guess.
I got 8 years, and how much was it?
It was eight years, I think it was eight times 8.5, right?
Come into camp looking like Bufflin, man.
That's what Bufflin did. That's what how he got out of the
league. Basically, the gist of it is, I don't feel like the team is set up good for Berube currently, and I'm not saying that they can't fix it. But right now,
do you think they'll fix it?
I don't know. I think it's going to be one of two things. I think Army might just ride it out, and once you get the deadline, you got three huge UFAs. You got Ryan O'Reilly. Tons of teams would love him. I mean, he's a warrior in the playoffs. Vladimir Tarasenko.
Do you think he's going to go? Because like he's not going to cost what he used to.
No, but at the deadline, I mean, look at some of the recent deadline deals, and then Tarasenko, one of the best shots in the world, and then you got Barbashev, who is a Swiss Army knife. He can play wing, he can play center, he can play third line, he can play first line. I mean, Barbashev's an awesome player.
Tarasenko's gone, correct?
I mean, if they don't, if they turn it around and they make, I mean, because like, what, I know it sounds crazy, but we're in November. It's November 8th.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I saw them freaking dig out of a hole. They were in dead last place.
That's true. Yeah, you can never say anything. Anyway,
I'm not saying it's going to happen again. I've been telling people, like, get rid of the 2019 nostalgia. It's over.
Are there still a lot of fans that expect that every year, even when they suck?
When they – oh, people tonight. So they played in Philly tonight, right? And the whole –
Do
you guys remember the Gloria song when they won the Cup? That started in a bar in Philadelphia in 2019. They all got drunk two nights before the game, and – they started playing Glory over and over again at this bar, and Bennington came up. That was his first game shutout, and then they just went on a run. And then they used the song, and the fans rallied around it, and it was a whole thing, and the rest is history. But they went on an 11-game winning streak, a franchise record. So you're asking them to do that type of thing again. But like I said, it's still early. I don't really panic. I mean, I saw them win a cup. As a fan, it's like, that's all I could ask for, you know?
Ugh.
But it's
so,
–
So here's my question for you, though, not even about the Blues. If you were still their e-book – you're being kind of critical of them right now. It seems like you're a little bit more willing to talk about the team now.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like,
I would still call a spade. I wouldn't probably say as much as I'm saying, but.
Cause I saw you live tweeting the game tonight.
Yeah. Well, because I just get sick of like seeing people and like every fan base has these fans. I mean, some of these fans, like I said, they're so hung up on 2019 and it's like, it's over, you know I mean? Let's move on. Yeah. Like, you know that you've won, or you've seen the Penguins win three cups, and you know how it is. It's like you can you're only so good as your last game or whatever this you know the phrase is. It's like, but I don't know. It's just like I said. I think they need a shot in the arm. I don't know what it is. Like I have a tough time believing a trade's gonna happen. Armstrong does not lose on trades. Like he doesn't sell low. You know what I'm saying? So if he's gonna do something. It's either he's going to wait or, I mean, I don't think he's going to fire Berube, though. He came out, and I know we've seen this before, but the Blues are, I'm not going to call them cheap, but they're not a franchise that likes to bury money and, like, pay coaches and not to coach, pay players not to play. Doug Armstrong's never bought out a single player in his 10 years as a Blues GM. He's never even, like, retained money besides one deal in the Paul Stastny deal, and it was only a little bit of money, just a little bit. That's it. Huh. In his entire tenure, he does not... The Blues aren't like, Vegas.
They're very cautious.
Yeah, they're not like Vegas or Tampa where they can just eat money and not have guys play and pay, teams to take guys. Like, they're not going to do that. I'm telling you right now. Yeah. Like, they will. It's crazy, though. But, yeah.
What's going on in Pittsburgh?
Kessa, you
listen,
take that
every single listen, every year, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be one of those fans that Padre was complaining about. They have a slow start, and then, they'll be hanging around in a playoff playoff spot, and then March will come along and they'll go like 13-0 in the month of March, and then
this is what 20 years of like just regular season dominance and winning
they had that game.
I was like, this
Boston,
was the Sharks,
like they gave up three goals I think in the last 10 minutes or something. Like,
yeah,
they've blown some leads. They lost to Buffalo that way. I'm not worried. Like, I think they're like 4-6-2 maybe or something.
4-6-2 currently. Yeah. They are 27th in the show.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried whatsoever. Like, they'll turn it around. Like, they had that weird Western Conference like road trip. I think they kind of broke up some of the momentum they had to start the season, but they're going to turn it around.
My Sharks have been awful. The 100 points from Erik Karlsson is going to make things difficult, and James Reimer needs to be traded because he's too good for them to be in the Bedard conversation. They are currently in 29th. The only teams behind them are the Blues, which I 1000% think will be nowhere near that. Then Ottawa. I said this before in my predictions, that Ottawa, it's very difficult to, especially in hockey, add in like half a roster, or at least like, you know, enough where there's a lot of roster turnover. Detroit, it's worked well. But in Ottawa, I kind of had a feeling that they were better on paper. Yeah. And it usually takes a little while to get going. I don't know if they'll be this bad. They're 4-8 right now. They play in a really hard division, especially with Boston being back to like Boston. And then Columbus. I am concerned about Columbus being bad for the Bedard thing because, again, this whole season I really want the Sharks to have the best shot at Bedard. And Arizona's got 11 points. That's two more than the Sharks in two less games. And the other team that I'm really concerned about is Anaheim because they are bad.
They're awful. I think they're the worst team, but they look terrible.
Yeah, and no Jamie Drysdale for 4 to 6 months. Like, I'm so sad. But Jamie Drysdale, he's one of my favorite players. He's the first player that I watched when I started going to Ice Dogs games. Like, when I became a fan of the Ice Dogs, he was the first player in his draft year, he played for Erie, that I was like, holy smokes. It was cool to watch him play, especially defenseman. Defenseman in junior, like, you know, when there's an NHL prospect in junior, like, that's what you notice more than anything else because they demand the puck, and every other junior defenseman's like, the second they get it, they want to get rid of it. Like, they don't want it at all. So that's sad for them. But Columbus... Yeah, like, I think they might be that bad, even with Goudreau.
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing much. You mentioned the Ottawa thing. Like, yeah, they added a lot of new people, but, like, that defense isn't that good. I don't know what the Brinkett's doing right now, because, like, I know he's not scoring, really.
Yeah, I don't watch it. I don't watch a ton of Ottawa games, so I would love, I mean, if you're an Ottawa fan in the comments, let us know.
It seems like Giroux's doing solid from what I've seen. Like,
Giroux is. He's got to be having a blast, though. Like, players that go home... I want to bring this up before, dude. I love Alex Tuch is my goathead jersey.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to talk about the reverse retros in a little bit, but... He is who I've decided who I'm going to get on my reverse retro.
You're not going with Tage?
Oh, sorry, I'm going black and the black and red. Sorry,
you're not going with Tage?
No, because like I lived in Buffalo. Yeah. Like there is a thing to get a guy that wants to play in Buffalo among anywhere else is just awesome. Yeah. And he had a decent start to the season. Not as good as Tage and obviously Darlene, but like when he scores, it's just like, man, DMX, he plays DMX. That's his custom goal song. Like, it's just like, I don't know. Like, there's something about it. I love that. And it reminds me a little bit of the Breer and Drury days of they scrap and claw, and it's going to be fun. But let's move on to the reverse retros. Okay. So the reverse retros come out. They came out in the NHL video game, sort of.
Yeah.
We're not going to go through all of them. But quickly give me your three worst. We got the image up here. Give me your three worst.
Do we have the image up here on the video feed? Or
I do. I don't. I didn't put it on the video feed.
All right, let me get a look at these again because I know which ones are my favorites.
I will quickly. Detroit and Chicago. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that they're. I get that they're original six, and you can't really mess with them. So they really avoid anything that isn't traditional.
Yeah.
But I'm dying for a black Detroit Red Wing jersey.
Oh.
Like, you know, like, but it's just, it's a jersey that you can't really mess with. And then Chicago, it's tough because they have, in my opinion, one of the best logos in sports. And, like, jersey kits, like, they just look like a really, really, it's a really good logo. So, like, I don't know what they would do. I don't know what Chicago could do. But they just, it's the lame wording, man. I've said this before as well on my stream and whatnot. Like, wording is for baseball. Get that out of the NHL. It's like the crest.
It's worked for some. The Rangers had one. The Penguins had the one.
The Rangers
Pittsburgh.
Is different because that is a yeah, that's a historic.
It's
even
worked.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Even for Pittsburgh, I'm not a fan of that. But the there's a couple that I deem the Walmart jerseys.
Dude, the Blue Jackets look like a starter jersey.
It's a knockoff
ripoff that you would get
at Winners.
Yeah, at Kmart.
There's so
like
much
96.
Potential too with the Jackets. Yep, there's so much potential.
The Blue Jackets have one of the coolest logos in hockey.
Well, just
I
even
love
even the logo
the
though,
American
like
flag.
I just feel like you, even the logo there could be more. I don't know. I just feel like there's so much potential because if you think about the Blue Jackets' history, they go back and forth between. Do we want to include the blue jacket, which is Stinger? Obviously, you know, your friends.
Their original logo was like the
blue. Yeah, so it's like they have like the B or whatever you want to call it. But then like the other logo, they have the cannon with their third jersey. And then their standard logo has the star with the thing like swooshing through. Like it's like they can't make up their mind like what they really want to do. And I feel like, but there's so much potential there that I feel like they could, you know, do something.
The stars too. They went back to the right the right logo.
Like lazy, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, it's like it's literally just, the Blue Jacket one, though, just a little different.
The Blue Jacket one, the black and
copy
blue.
Copy my homework, but make
like
it look
so.
Different,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Two jerseys. Sorry, my bad. Go ahead. No, you're fine.
No. I was going to say, I replied to Nasher when he was like, oh, these are kind of gross. I'm like, yeah, dude, you find that at Walmart? Like, sick, dude. Like, and then everyone else was like, okay, yeah, these are trash.
Yeah, I was going to say, two jerseys that need to be the primary jerseys. Anaheim's, if you're going to stick with the orange, because they have the orange, you know, one with the,
yeah.
We need the Mighty Duck logo. The Mighty Duck logo
Ducks,
is just such a great logo. It's with the goalie mask with the, you know, the sticks. It's just such a good logo.
They have the worst kits in the entire league.
Yeah.
Like the duck wing, like I get the logo's creative and it's not as bad as, dude, you remember when, in 2005 when Reebok first re-released all the jerseys?
Oh yeah. With Ducks.
Right after the lockout, and it like, you know, it just spelt Anaheim.
Oh yeah.
God, those were awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have the worst jerseys in
the
entire hockey, NHL.
The other one, Minnesota. Those need to be their home and away. It's the North Stars colors. They're so clean. They're
those
like
ones
the North.
Are really nice.
I love the North Stars color.
I don't like the North Stars
because I just feel like the Christmas colors. Like they don't do. They've never done anything in them. You know, switch it up. The fans in Minnesota. Because think about this, you're tapping into the grandparents who watch the North Stars, the dads and the moms. You know what I mean? Those colors are they're just so clean. Like Fleury has some great gear too. And then the ones that I guess there's so many bad ones. Like Chicago, like you said, Detroit's awful. Columbus, Dallas. I hate the Oilers thing. I know, like I never was a fan of that jersey.
Oh man,
yeah.
It's one of my favorite.
Really?
So when I really got into hockey was like 2003. That was like the when I became a Sharks fan. It's when I like. I was like, I've watched like every Leaf game when I was a kid, but like I paid attention to like all of hockey when I was a Sharks fan. And that was the beginning of like, you know, everyone had their own computer
yeah.
and stuff like that. So I could follow, it's a little easier to follow. And that Oiler like section, the Ryan Smith, Hemsky, Horkoff,
yeah.
like, and they also eliminated the Sharks, in my first year being a fan of them really. But that jersey I loved. I just wish. Stop with like Oiler fans. If you're in here, please explain to me. I cannot get on board with the orange, and I don't know how many fans disagree with me because I'm not a fan of the Oilers, and I get that they have a history, but man, stop. Bring back the copper. The copper and blue is just a mean logo and color kit, and I wish for this one. I wish it was copper, man, but it's a reverse
yeah,
retro, so
yeah.
they're changing out the colors. I love that jersey in its original form.
I also, I think the Coyotes are phenomenal. The Coyotes just they don't,
dude, the Coyotes reverse retroed their reverse.
Yeah,
retro.
they just make great jerseys. And then Capitals are great. I love the Caps. I think we all agree on that one.
I think the Preds have a top three.
I agree too. Preds is clean. I actually like the Panthers because it's Florida and it's just like, I don't know, it's Florida. Like I love like the sun in it. I don't think it's like an amazing one by any means, but I like it. And then I actually like Vegas's jersey. I know it's a hot take.
Oh, no.
The reason why is I love creativity when, so the lettering, the font is from Excalibur, the hotel.
Oh, really?
Which I think is cool.
Oh, I guess I should.
I think it's cool when you tie things in that have something to do with the city. So like a few years ago, Nashville on their neck of their jerseys, they had piano keys, which is kind of cool because it's like, you know, country music, like whatever.
Yeah.
Like I like when teams like tie things into like, you know, their city or whatever. And yeah, like Vegas, it's pretty cool. Like it's Excalibur, like the hotel, and I don't know, like a black jersey with black and gold is just, you know, it's a cool like look. I mean, obviously, like I said, it's kind of the whole Vegas across is kind of like whatever. But I think Ottawa also did like a really lazy one too. They kind of just like mishmash.
It's tough because they had just before this all came out. Yeah. They literally went back to their retros. I love that logo. You know, like when I really started paying attention to hockey, it was like Yashin, Alfredson, Heatley. Like that was like when, and they had the, you know, that 2D one. Capitals are the best sport, like jersey in sports. I said this when the reverse retro came out last year and it was red. I was like, man, I hope they bring the Eagle back in full. It's been my favorite jersey since I've been like a little kid. The Nashville not like using that logo and not the mustard, because that's what ruined it. The mustard yellow is what ruined that jersey.
No, there's no ruining. That, like I said, that's a top three one right there.
Yeah, no. Like that, because they're using the actual Nashville yellow, like that they currently have. If you go back and look at the Paul Kariya, like the, oh man, that thing is, it's the coloring that makes that jersey so bad. Not the logo.
What about the fish sticks, man?
The Gordon's fisherman right there. Yeah.
The logo. Thank God. Like, I think that it's one of the better logos that's in hockey, but the jersey, the striping is lame. Mm-hmm. They needed more teal on it. Like they needed a little bit more teal on it, but I'm happy that the logo's back in. But when you look at the full kit, it's like, but the logo is so good.
I like the Sharks.
The other one, I'm very against wording, but I understand.
The reason why is I like how they're like paying homage to the Seals
because it's
like the San Fran area. It's just like, it's kind of cool how they tied it in. I don't mind that. I don't like just for like a gimmicky jersey for like six or seven games. I kind of liked it. And it's like, I don't know. And the Rangers is clean too. You know, like the
Ranger, that's like that, in my opinion, that's the best Rangers logo.
Yeah.
The red pants is a lot. Like if you watch them play, it's tough. The other one, I want to bring this up quick. This is a long conversation on jerseys. Actually, everyone loves talking about jerseys. I don't care. The Buffalo played Pittsburgh.
Yes, I saw
And the Buffalo jerseys, everyone was like, these are amazing. And I remember when the reverse retros came out last year, the Pens jersey, I was like, man, they did the Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, bring back the Jager 2D Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And these look awful.
They
on
missed,
TV.
Man. So I love the logo.
They look awful
because they
on
went
TV.
Back to that logo. But
you don't like that logo?
No. I said I love the logo, but they missed on the jersey design. Like the yellow on the shoulder, like they should have kept it just basically what it was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And this redesign is just like almost similar to like that Blue Jackets or that Stars jersey to me.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of missed on the execution. The idea was there.
The Sabres, I think it's the yellow. It's just so bright. Like, you don't notice it in the pictures, but, like, it's just, like, accented around, like, the outsides and whatnot, and it's just, like, it did not look good. It looked real bad on TV.
It's the white pants, too, for me. I hate the white pants with the white on white. Dude. Too much white.
The, also need to give props. The Jets away jerseys are among the best in the NHL. I think that it's tough to make an away jersey. Like beat a home jersey just because it's like color,
mm-hmm.
But I honestly think that those Jets away ones are really good. But all right, nice little jersey talk there. All right, let's talk about Tkachuk. All right, he was a bad boy. I'm not a big Jonathan Quick fan, but you can't ram your stick and jab someone in the eye. So he gets a two gamer. But let's talk about Tkachuk because obviously the biggest trade in the offseason. And Florida looks like it was when it was done. It was like Florida wins or Florida loses immediately, but long-term, easily the winners over Calgary, because obviously Kachuk's a much younger player. They don't have to pay, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, it seemed like a better fit. Kachuk is killing it in Florida. So give me your thoughts, Padre, on Kachuk and what you think of him and the suspension.
I love Matthew, obviously. He's one of, I skate with him in the summertime, so I'm always going to be a fan of him and Brady, obviously. They're just great kids. They work their butts off. They're so fun to watch. For guys that don't have the fastest feet, but they work the way they impact games is just so crazy to me. Like, how every single game to bring in 82 games like that is just exhausting. Like, that's what's crazy to me. And like, even this the other night, like, they're down, you know, they're down by one. They're trying to get a goal at the end, and he's sitting there mucking it up in the scrum with Doughty as always. And all of a sudden you see Quick just fall on the ice. And I'm like, what happened? Like, did he just get shot by a sniper? Yes. They show the replay and Kachuk just casually sticks his stick. Like, you know, kind of just, you just, I mean, he's unbelievable at it. And no one even saw it unless you had a replay. That's the crazy part about it. It's like, you know, of course, at the end of the game, he goes right into the goalie again, and they're all mobbing him, and Brendan Lemieux screaming from the bench at him. You know, like, I remember he bit Brady Kachuk's finger last year. Like,
I forgot that. Dude, that feels like it was years ago.
So there's a little bit of a family hatred there, and who knows what Pepe Claude Lemieux had did with Big Walt back in the day. So, you know, it's funny how the way that Matthew impacts the game. I really like Florida. I know right now, like, it's early in the year. They have 15 points. They're right there on the edge of things. I just think they have a better team for what they need to win in the playoffs now. You got guys like Sam Bennett, you know. And
do you think it's possible with Bobrovsky in net? A, because he's awful right now.
Yeah.
But B, it's that 10 milli, man. Could you imagine if they didn't have to pay him?
Well, yeah. Because they would have Weegar probably.
Yeah, like, they probably would have Weegar and Huberto and probably somebody else.
Yeah, like they might not have Matthew Kachuk right now. I just like the way they're built. I think they'll add a defenseman too. And if I had to guess, with Ekblad being out again, if they bury that money, I could see a Chychrun ending up there. I could see that happen.
That makes sense. I think as long as they avoid Tampa, just because I think it might be a mental thing, like with the Lightning, dude. If the Florida matches up with Toronto, there's like, I see no way Toronto beats a team like the Panthers.
Yeah,
just because, like, even like with Kachuk too, and like Lomberg, and like, they're just, you know what I mean, Ekblad back, like, they're just a mean, you know what I mean, like, that's a team that Toronto cannot handle. I have a feeling like that's what we'll get. Like, that's, as long as it, you know, I mean, unless Florida or Toronto wins a division,
yeah.
But dude, I can't totally see them.
It's early, but Tampa looks tired.
I think it's just exhausting.
I know.
And they all got 8 mil contracts.
Yeah, and I think some of it's that. I think they'll still be fine. But I did hear something interesting on a podcast the other day, and people were talking about how when you play the Lightning, you want them to play your game. Not, you know, don't go into their speed, because they're not like as fast as they used to be. You know, now everybody's fast, right? And you kind of saw that tonight with the Oilers. It's like, you know, I don't know. There's something going on there. It's a little weird. I don't know.
They survived against Toronto. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that they were a good matchup because Toronto is a very skilled team. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what Tampa was. And they retired. And then Vasilevsky just went full God mode to like drag them through. I don't know. It's very. Oh, also, should bring this up because it just happened tonight. Dude, did you see the Evander Kane injury?
Yeah,
the skate, right?
My God. God, I don't like seeing, like, I saw one of the worst injuries, I think, I mean, I probably one of the worst hockey ones in the last, like, 5 years easily in person in the OHL. When a player reacts like that, it's like, you know what I mean? Just because, like, he immediately ran to the bench and is just freaking out. And he's, like, you know, for what he is, he's still one of the toughest players. Like, he's a tough dude, right? And he just looks frantic. Like, he's like, you know what I mean? And I don't know what'll happen. I mean, it just happened. It looks like he sliced his wrist, but I think it was the back of it. Still extremely scary. So, hope he's all right. And, he was having a heck of a season. So he's going to put up 40 with as long as, you know, he doesn't miss it, you know, a month or two, which he might, I don't know, but, man, scary times there. But yeah, Tampa is just, you're right. It's just exhaustion. At a certain point, hockey is the one sport that, like, a long playoff run means a short off season. And I think that, you know, football, it's very like, you know, the season's on and whatnot, but like, if you don't make the playoffs, like, you're done in like December and you don't start again until like July, really. It's a long off season. And Tampa's been playing into June and July. And when they won two cups in 8 months. Yeah. I think a lot of people forget that. Like, they won two in 8 months. I don't know. I think that they might get out early next time, and that'll be the end of the dynasty. But you consider them a dynasty?
Yeah.
Or do they have to win that last one?
You have to win three. That's the dynasty rule.
Is that the rule?
That's the rule.
The fact they have four or five Hall of Famers, I think that's why, too.
You can say they're one of the greatest teams of all time, but like the dynasty rule is three and four.
Yeah. Stamkos Hall of Famer, Kucherov Hall of Famer, Hedman Hall of Famer?
Stamkos Hall of Famer, Kucherov Hall of Famer, Hedman Hall of Famer, Vasilevskiy will be a Hall of Famer. And I think even Braden Point could possibly sneak in eventually.
He has to have a lengthy career, I think.
Yeah, but I have a feeling the trajectory of him, I feel like he could do it too.
People forget about him.
He's just sneaky. Yeah, he's nasty.
He is sneaky. I agree. I don't like giving out, like, I'm someone that, like, I hate repeat cup champions in hockey because I find it boring. In pro sports, I find it boring.
Yeah.
I'm a Patriots fan, so that's funny. Yeah. But, in hockey specifically, it feels like when you win a cup, you know what it's like to win a round. And I think that more than other sports, that's like, because it's a 7-game series, whereas in football, it's like one and done, right? Like, you're one and done. And in basketball, it's like, you pretty much know who's going to win going into a series. Like, it's basketball's such a unfortunate sport in that sense. It's very low dramatics in basketball a lot of times. But in hockey, like, we've talked about this before. Like, if the Leafs win a round, I think they win going a run because they just don't know what it's like to win a round. So when they need a big goal and a big moment, they're all just looking down the bench, be like, "Yo, you gonna score? Are you good?" Like, yeah, just it'll be interesting to see how they do. Also, need to give a shout out to our sponsor of the show. We're going to talk about Gamer Saloon. If you guys are looking to get into competitive matches in NHL or Madden or FIFA, any sports game, and really any game, safest place to do it is Gamersaloon.com. Go and check them out. The link is down below. If you're trying to get better at NHL specifically, these two gentlemen know. This is where they got basically their start in competitive play in NHL. It will make you a better player, so make sure that you reach out to them. So, lastly, guys, let's talk about awards, like some early awards.
So we have. I think the main ones, Connor McDavid is just crushing, right? So
boring.
It's boring.
Like, he's 4 points every night.
Yeah, he had another two or three tonight, right?
Yeah, like it's wild. We've never seen that. I don't think we've ever seen that in hockey. Where I remember watching the Kings play, like the Kings series, and Mike Smith was doing his damnedest to throw that for Edmonton.
Yeah,
but he can just take over everything. It's nuts, man.
I did see a surprising stat. So he just played his 500th game, and he has 722 points through 500 games. I was really surprised considering how dominant I think McDavid's offensive production is. Crosby had 706 through 500 games. So it wasn't that far off from like their first 500 games comparing their career. Very identical.
I think this is maybe a hot take. I think Crosby benefited from the 05 when out of the lockout, I think everyone... Like, scoring was absurd. I remember, like, Maxim Afen again. I've had, like, 100 points.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. I would say that, but he still kept a higher pace the following years because that was his rookie year, I think McDavid, on the flip side of that, like, those first few years he was in the league, very low scoring. It's just, like, the last couple that have, like, gone up a ton.
It's crazy, like, over 200 points over point per game. I got to see it with Thornton, like, to an extent.
Yeah.
Like, it was never that. It was always, like, 100 assists, but, like, 80 assists. Yeah. It was never 150 points in a season. That's absolutely wild. Norris, Stewie, what are the odds that Carlson wins a Norris?
I mean, if he keeps this up, he will. I mean, what he's doing is absurd. I think is there any way they trade him at the deadline somehow?
I love people bringing that up. There is no shot. One, he has a full no-move clause.
Right.
And maybe, here's the thing,
he would probably move somewhere good, right?
Dude, if we're talking about best places to live as an NHL hockey player, San Jose is like top five. True, but you're living in one of the nicest cities in, well, I don't want to say nicest city, but nicest places to live.
Even if Florida or Tampa somehow wanted them to come down there?
That'd be impossible. They wouldn't be able to fit that. Because a lot of people bring that up.
Like, Tampa. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got to trade Carlson, and it's like, dude, he still costs $11.5 million. This is just the first year he's been worth that on the Sharks. Although 2019, if he didn't get hurt, when he wasn't hurt, that team was so good, and he was unbelievable. But, I don't know. Like, I would love it. If they could find, dude, if Greer found a way out of that, I will forget about all of the, I just want Doug Wilson back. Like, if he gets out of the Carlson deal, good. That's five more years at 11.5. If he plays all 82 games, that'll be more surprising than the fact that he's probably going to hit 100 points, like, at this pace. Yeah. But, the other one, Dahlin looks like he's finally breaking out, which is so good for Buffalo.
Yeah.
He's such a good player. But still, Makar with 13. Yeah, the Avalanche have been kind of meh. Hangover?
I don't know. Like, what do you guys think it's been? Like, it has to be that, right?
I would assume so. Like, it's got to be so weird. Like, when you, I mean, you, Padre, you've literally hung out with dudes after they won a cup. Like, is their mentality different?
I think there's, like, a definite hang. I mean, it's like an exhausting summer. You don't ever stop. It's always just, it's like you win, you party hard, then you get the cup, and you never really, like, I feel like the training is hard to get back to, you know what I mean?
Less hunger.
Yeah, it's just the training, you know, it's a shortened summer, you know, that you play so deep into the summer, and then here you go again, especially now with, like, COVID, you know, knocking the schedules, you know, condensing all the schedules. It's just, you know, it's very tight. And I think the Avs are fine. I'll be honest, like, I wasn't super as high on them as everybody else was because everyone just loves, like, the new sexy team. The goaltending scared me. I know Kemper got a lot of flack last year because, you know, he wasn't amazing by any means, but Georgiev is just, he's never, like, really proven anything. So I wasn't very high on him, you know what I mean, just in general. I'm not saying that, like, he's god-awful. He has a high save percentage right now, I know, and he has, a pretty good, but that team's, like, so good. They don't give up a ton of shots and stuff. It's just, I just don't think there is going to be as down. And not having Kadri, too, is a big deal. I mean, that's a really good...
New Hook is not working.
No.
Like, they needed him to be, like, their second-line center.
Right.
And he is...
Which, don't be surprised if, like, Jonathan Tate somehow ends up there at the deadline. You know what I mean?
Be absurd.
Let's talk about the Vezina. Right now, Jake Oettinger with a 1.4 goals against and a 9.52 save percentage in seven games. Very, very small sample size, but Oettinger definitely looks like the truth in Dallas for the foreseeable future. Yzerman and Huso, bro. How did you not just go get Huso? Like, it was, what, a third-round pick?
Yeah, it was the rights for him, the UFA rights.
Like,
Billy's been really good. Another guy to keep an eye on is Ullmark too. Boston.
Yeah, he's 205 goals against and 932.
Yeah, and they're really good too. So, like, out of those three teams, I think Boston's the best out of Dallas and Detroit, right? So, you know, you also have to have a good team, but yeah, there's a lot of really good goalies right now. And the Jennings would go to Vegas, I think, right now, wouldn't it?
I believe, yeah, because number 7 and number 8 in goals against is Hill and Thompson. Save percentage-wise, Thompson is in 8th. Aiden Hill is in 12th.
Yep.
Aiden Hill, 5-0.
Love to see it.
I mean, what a redemption for him. We didn't even talk about Saros, because I haven't been fantasy.
Yeah, lit up tonight.
9-0. That was a team that I didn't talk about, the who's not I wanted to bring up, Nashville. I think that last year was an aberration. They rode Duchesne and a historic shooting percentage on Duchesne. Saros was amazing, and Yossi had a Norris Trophy season, essentially. That is all not, like, happening this year. Saros is a 904 save percentage and a 3.12 goals against. He's 3-5. And Lankinen has been better as a backup. He's 2-1 with a 933 save percentage, but that's just him starting only a couple games, man. Nashville, do we feel like they're just that last year was kind of a whatever? I guess I forgot to talk about that earlier.
I think that was a fluke last year. I do expect Soros to turn it around. Padre, if I remember correctly, I think that was your Vezina pick, right?
I, like, did it as a joke, but yeah. I'm going to be honest with you guys, though. I do like Nashville a little bit. The reason why I say that is because they're huge. You look at their roster, I think like the
dude just wants to play Versa.
I know it sounds dumb, but they're like big, they're physical, they're mean. Like they're a big freaking hockey team. I mean, it's, and I feel like when you buy into a certain type of mold, I feel like that's really, I mean, I feel like if they make the playoffs with that type of team, I mean, that's a team in the playoffs I wouldn't want to play. And with Saros the way he is, I'm not saying they're going to like win the Stanley Cup. I mean, I, it
sucks we didn't, you know, get but, to see. I mean, like,
I know
I would have loved to see Colorado against Saros. Yeah. I still, Colorado still would have ran through, but yeah. Saros last year was having a season where like there's been a number of times where a goaltender has eliminated a team like himself. And like that would have been more fun just because it was so, it was like Daryl Sutter said the best, man. He's like, whoever finishes in eighth in the Western Conference, this is a 5-day vacation. They're done after that. Lastly, we got to talk about the Calder. Matias, am I saying Michelli?
Yeah, I think it's like Michelli. I think or it's something, Michelli. Yeah.
9 points for the Coyotes. He's got his first goal tonight. Behind, he's tied with Matty Beniers, who has one more game played. But unbelievable. I mean, like, this is just someone taking advantage. He was a fourth-round pick, 98th overall in 2019, and just having a heck of a time. I wonder if it's just a Vegas situation where you get a player that just is given all the ice time he can have, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but I think it, Matty Beniers with nine, he's been fun to watch. Dude, Shane Wright, not a good start to his career, and the coach doesn't have confidence in him, and he's stuck there, it looks like. So this is like reminding me of like a Kotkaniemi situation where he should go back, you know, like he should probably go back, but he's not going to. And as an Ice Dog fan, I love that. I don't want Kingston to have Shane Wright. But then behind him, we've got Cole Perfetti, who's got 8 points in 12 games. Cole Perfetti looks good. Mason McTavish, he's played twice against the Sharks. He is, I hate that he is Matthew Tkachuk. Like, he's going to be. Like, he's a little baby Matthew Tkachuk right now. Like, every whistle, you know, he's kind of got the nasty hands. Like, I don't know. Anyone on the Calder race, on the rookies that you're surprised about or you have a feeling that might pull away?
Cassie, you can take that one.
Dude, I this is the thing I don't like. I don't like it because it's always random. Like last year with Michael Bunning almost winning, you know,
29-year-old Michael
Bunning.
Yeah,
exactly. So, like,
what's your take on that? What's your take on that?
What's my take on that? It is what it is, right? Like, I think
it should be an age restricted or no?
No. Yeah, it probably should. It should probably be like
Kaprizov got it. Yeah, he was like what 26.
No, I think if you played pro 25. Hockey, it shouldn't count.
Yes, that's a good, yes, that's a
so
good.
So, like, if you play in the KHL, Swedish Elite League, the Dell, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I agree with that.
Like, remember when, like, Damian Bruner came over and stuff? And, like,
Malkin wouldn't have won it that one year, right? Because he played in the KHL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's like, it's a hard line to draw.
Maybe, that one's tough because it's like.
He was still young.
I feel like it wasn't, did Malkin play in the KHL even regardless of the lockout?
Yeah, so what happened was he was drafted. There was the, I'm trying to think. Yeah, because he was drafted before Crosby. There was the lockout.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he still played another year after that.
Tarasenko did the same thing. He played over there. Yeah. Kaprizov, Panarin. It's tough. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's like 25 and over or something. Or I don't know. It's a weird.
You know, one of the craziest storylines that, like, is not going to get talked about until the draft. It'll just ramp way up. Is like, who drafts Michkov? Like, any team. So let's say the Sharks finish in the bottom five, Columbus, Anaheim, Phoenix, Arizona, showing my age. They all like, they can't wait. I feel like maybe the Sharks could. But like Michkov, like he signed until 2024-25 and like, I would assume that it's over with now, not to get into politics and in what's going on in the world right now, but there's a big disconnect from, like, athletes and Russia.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, maybe they're not allowed, because the IHF is just disallowed.
Dude, I would make no assumption even knowing what's going on with that stuff.
Exactly, dude. Like, exactly. Let me ask you this. What team in the bottom five that you think will be in the bottom five, Padre, would you think wouldn't care and would take Michkov? Because he signed till 24-25 anyways.
Yeah.
But then the issue is that he, like, what ends up happening in that situation? Because the same thing happened with Kaprizov in Minnesota. Like, if they don't want to sign there.
Yeah.
It's like, they won't come over, right? Like, they just say they're not going to come over. Because Radulov had that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know. It's tough to say.
Like, would he come to Columbus? Like, that's the other thing you got to think about. Like, would he come to Arizona?
No.
You know, like, oh, like, it's wild to think. Because, like, he looks like he might be as good as Bedard.
Yeah.
Like, he's unbelievable. He's, like, he just looks like he's, like, an ex. It looks like Crosby and Ovechkin again. And that's such a risk, man, because you get that high of a pick in a draft that's loaded. Like, Fantilli, I feel like he's going to finish second or go second overall just because the team will play it safe. And then Mitchkov probably falls to third. Like, man, I have a feeling it's going to be the Sharks. I have a feeling the Sharks are going to be sitting there. I'm like, damn. But they might not be good until he can actually play. So, you know, it's what it is. All right, let's talk about shot props. Your model has come back down to earth, brother. Walk us through it.
Oh man, it's been a sad November. So October we crushed its sleeves. I think you made a decent amount of money following my picks.
Yeah, like 24 units or something. Yeah. It was hilarious. Dude,
October finished like plus 28 or something. November,
it's unheard of.
Yeah, November came crashing down hard. We're down to like plus 15 total. So I think we lost like 11. Yeah. Rebounded very strongly tonight. Stamkos got 5 shots. Darlene's been crushing it every single night.
Give me a few players that before you even look at your model, you've been like, this guy hits it like every night. Like, give me like the guys that you're like, man, that, like he is
like, I don't even need to look at it. Caulfield's one of them that he, and it's been interesting following these, right? So like Caulfield's been one of them.
Whenever, now you know, like, you're paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So like sometimes I don't even have to look. So whenever the season started, he was priced at like his over under was like 2.5. And then
now it's 3.
He was hitting like 3 shots, 4 shots a game. And then he'd be like over 2.5, like minus 180. And then they finally bumped him up to 3.5. Yeah. Zibanejad was one of them. I was like 5 or 6-0 betting on Zibanejad. And then he had like a couple
off.
Who's
one that burns you? Shabbat,
dude, you want it.
Oh, I know who it is. I know who it is. He plays in New York.
Nope. There's one that's even worse.
Oh, there's another one.
Dude, Matt Zuccarello.
Really?
Matt Zuccarello had a stretch this year where he got like 5 shots a game. And his individual Corsi was great. Like, he was getting a lot of shot attempts.
Like, he fit your model.
Yeah, he fit the model. He was getting shot attempts every single game. Like, 60% of his shot attempts historically go on the net. And then he just fell off a cliff recently, and I don't know what happened. You know, like, I have no idea. Chris Kreider was one of them where he was crushing it, and then he's a streaky player. Those are the ones that are risky, you know, like a Malkin's like a streaky player. But it's been a lot of fun. I think we're bouncing back now. Like, tonight was really good. Finally.
Yeah, that's good to see. It's tough. It's tough going through those runs.
Yeah, Dougie Hamilton's another one of those guys that's just crushing it every single night. No matter what. Brent Burns, your favorite player.
Oh,
Brent
yeah,
Burns,
he
dude.
Rips anything on the net.
Yeah, dude. Exactly. Like, he's been getting like 3+ shots a game. I've been having a lot of fun mixing in the ladders, which you're not able to do. For people listening that don't know what a ladder play is in prop betting, a player will have their typical line. So Brent Burns will be like over 2.5 shots. And then they'll have alternate lines posted. So you can post like 4+ shots, 5+ shots, 6+ shots. And, those are some of my favorite ones to do because, like, I've hit a few times this year. Like, Zibanejad has had, like, a 5 or 6-shot game where I bet him all the way up to 6 shots. So,
that's nuts.
Yeah, dude, it's been fun. I post all my picks every day on Twitter. Like, yeah, I wanted to be transparent, you know, if I win.
No, that's good, man. Yeah. That's good. All right, boys. I mean, that was an action-packed episode.
It was.
Went over an hour there, fellas.
Dude, are you guys tired, too?
I'm exhausted.
Dude, my eyes were like watering at one point.
No, I was just reading some stats stuff. That's what I was reading. Sorry, I was zoned out for a second. I was reading some of
this. Dude, I'm too old. You guys with kids now, like, you guys have to do the late night recording. I am like, dude, my day is done at 10. Like, dude, it's awful. I don't know why. I used to be such a nighthawk and now I get up.
We
like
always say we're
going
to record at like X time, but we talk for like 30 minutes and catch up. You know what
dude,
I mean?
That's what the thing. Dude. We were supposed to record 40 hours or 40 minutes before we, you know, press record.
Before we fries.
We start talking about everything in our day and like our video games. And
Because those are always the best ones. Yeah.
These are. All right, guys. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure that you follow the podcast, and we'll see you next episode. Have a good one.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.